it's almost time to go three wide the high banks. We bring you the latest news stories and race recaps through all of NASCAR's top three series from the MHK. Time to put your armor on. Fasten those seatbelts as we're ready to go three wide on the track. Live from Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas, it's time for the Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Three Wide NASCAR podcast on the airwaves once again. EG3, Eddie Greer III, here with you guys once again for the podcast all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. And we're going to say this for the first time heading in to next year, the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And this is the first stage break of the off-season episode of the podcast. Of course, if you listen to this now, you would have already listened to Monday night's episode that just came out last night. If you have not done that, please tell your friends about it. And of course, I'll wrap up that episode. I wrapped up the episode by Gene Taylor, those guys, the athletic director for Kansas State, needing to make a move here soon about whether Bill Snyder is going to go on with coaching or not. And for this very reason, I'm jumping back on this week to tell you the results. Obviously, for those who don't know the results, I will share those with you at the end of this episode. But first, as usual, we're going to go through one of the big stories of the Cup Series. Obviously, we already knew this already. Let's get right down to it. Big D here with me as well here for the next half hour, shooting for that on the stage break edition of the Three Wide NASCAR podcast. And we're focusing solely on Kurt Busch. Yes, Kurt Busch. We already knew this. It was made official yesterday that Kurt Busch will not be returning to SHR. This was really old news, really, going all the way back, probably towards the end, or coming to towards the playoffs, really. Excuse me, with the Martin Truex, Jimmy McMurray situation that was going on at that time. Of course, Martin Truex Jr. now officially with Joe Gibbs Racing in that 19 car. But Kurt Busch, you know, coming off that heartbreaking race there that he had a chance to advance the championship for, not only do that, but to knock out one of the fastest car this past year in Kevin Harvick. Didn't get it done because Denny Hamlin had other ideas. But for those of you just tuning in, after five seasons at SHR, Stuart Haas Racing, Kurt Busch is moving on for the night. Excuse me, to the next year. The driver announced as much as Sunday night. The tweet with both the official team Twitter account and team co-owner Tony Stewart chiming in as well. Tony, I would like to thank Stuart Haas Racing for five fantastic years. Actually, Kurt Busch said this as part of his tweet as well. The 2004 Monster Energy Series champion is leaving SHR after compiling six victories there, including 2017 Daytona 500 with crew chief Tony Gibson. A lot of reports, really 95% of the reports, everybody saying that he's moving on to the one car of Chip Ganassi Racing. But of course, there has been no exact word on that situation yet. And we're in December. A lot of this started back, really, at the Michigan race, where it was first reported by, I believe, if I remember correctly, Big D, Jim Utter, reported, was first on the scene that Kurt Busch was going to not come back to Stuart Haas Racing next season. And now it's official. Yesterday, as we're recording this podcast on a Monday night, December 3rd, which our podcast, this week's podcast, is coming out tonight. So once again, This episode will come out tomorrow night, so you won't be hearing me from me again until next Monday. So I just wanted to come on here tonight because of the Bill Snyder news that happened yesterday morning. So that's why I'm on here tonight with you guys to share to the whole listening world about the news. For those of you who do not know Bill Snyder, at least for the listening area here in Manhattan, Kansas, that know it. So, but that's probably the main reason why I'm here. But I'm also wanted to do shares a little bit of what's been going on with some of these Cup drivers. But Kurt Busch, we do know the fact that he's now officially not with Stewart Haas Racing no more, which everybody's putting Daniel Suarez in that 41 car. Again, nothing has been official yet, either that ride or the one car. And of course, Jim McMurray probably not coming back. Obviously, NASCAR was offered a chance to compete in the next February's Daytona 500, but McMurray, we ain't heard nothing about that. So a lot of still unknown pieces. At least we're one-third closer. We do know where Truex stands. Everybody knows that by now, but everybody's putting the shoe on, betting their shoes that Kurt Busch is going to that one car. And I probably recently said it in this week's episode of the 3Y podcast that it's not Kurt Busch said everything was still not lining up, either that one or the week before. But I recently said that, and he said it in the latest release that he was still waiting for things to line up and things like that. So we'll have to see if those follow through as advertised, and he does go to Chip Ganassi in that one car, which, if he does, he will be beneficial to help out a young rising star, obviously, in Kyle Larson, using the 3Wide NASCAR podcast stage break edition. EG3, who the guys tonight on this stage break edition, but he will be a ton of information of help to Kyle Larson. Obviously, Kyle Larson, with all this talent going on, I have something on Kyle Larson here in a few moments. But Kurt Busch, definitely a talent, a great race car driver, and has a ton of knowledge. Of course, coming off that wonderful season that he had over there with Stewart Haas Racing, or really stint 6 years over there, six race wins there, and could have more, including the ISM race, playoff race, where he definitely had an opportunity to advance, knocking Kevin Harvick out of championship four contention. Did not do that there with that race turning penalty, passing the pace car there in that race, which pretty much turned that race up around for that 41 in that bunch over there. But you know, looking now with the 2018 season in the books now, you got to look towards next year, which all of a sudden it could come out very fast on us, sneak up on us pretty quickly. And really nothing has been said. You know, there's been little raindrops here and there about Daniel Suarez in that 41. But we ain't heard much more since then. And we've heard it, Big D, we've heard some things here and there, but nothing's not certain yet. But you know, Kurt Busch in that one, we haven't heard any other drivers considered in that ride either yet, in my opinion. You know, we've looked at Twitter feeds and everything else like that. We just haven't heard one other driver besides Kurt Busch, which is very interesting as I'm thinking about it right now, talking with you guys. So we'll have to keep monitoring on this as the Christmas holiday season rolls even closer and closer here. As you know, it's going to be January pretty soon enough, and teams are going to start preparing. Well, they're already going to prepare for next year, obviously, with two different packages. With one obviously being the non-tipper spacer, and then the other half of the Cup schedule, we're going to be seeing the tapered spacer package out on these racetracks, looking for better racing and things like that. So Kurt Busch, as we already knew from probably the summer, that he's not coming back from that ride. So really, that was really no surprise there. So we'll have to keep alert on where Kurt Busch is going to end up. Last time, Kurt Busch said that I'm still working on things, trying to line things up. So again, you know, we talk about all the sponsorship, the big deal of the sponsors of the sport, you know, trying to grab sponsors, even though you're a champion of the sport, you're a Daytona 500 winner. You know, it just baffles me that, you know, sponsors take a long time to align themselves with and to get on board with a certain driver. It just befuddles me sometimes. But moving on to three wide with Kyle Larson. Speaking of Kyle Larson, which he could be getting Kurt Busch. And if he does, Kyle Larson, even though he does have a wealth of talent, obviously, we've heard his name already. And there's no surprise about he and his dirt racing. We know his love, passion for dirt racing. But putting Kyle Larson in a sense of a friendly dirt rival in Christopher Bell. This may be going on. And I might be wrong about it or whatever, but this has gone on at least since last offseason when these two went after each other at the Chili Bowl, which Christopher Bell outdo Kyle Larson. It seems to me that Christopher Bell, a rising star in NASCAR, obviously, if you're not been in the world works for quite a while, Christopher Bell coming off a 7-win season in the Xfinity Series and an appearance in the Championship 4, coming up short to champion Tyler Reddick. Bell, Larson, we have seen this battle probably since the Checkered Flag Wave at Homestead. At least these guys battling out 3 or 4 times already. And the pattern probably is not going to change until they told us. Christopher Bell, one of the aftershots coming for a cup ride, not going to be this upcoming year with the because the limited amount of space of cup rides from this year. But you got to be at some point that Bell, you know, Bell coming off a Truck Series championship the year before and coming short this year. And this guy, obviously this guy has a lot of talent. And obviously the same background as Kyle Larson, dirt background, and a lot of accolades, including this past year's Chili Bowl, which I am looking into that for next year, possibly. I still have not gone to a dirt race, ladies and gentlemen, so looking to get that off the bucket list at some point, hopefully next year. I haven't had a chance to sit down and look into next year's Chili Bowl yet, so even though, yes, it's in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, driving distance from here, right here, so I mean, definitely I'm drawing interest in it as I speak right now, but we'll see how that lines up with events that could be possibly going on around that time frame when January rolls around. But Bell, Larson, these two continuing to go bout for bout, blow for blow, one another on the dirt tracks is pretty funny, to be honest with you, that these guys continue to go at it, and at some point, well, these two guys have already gone after one another in the Xfinity Series. At some point in the near future, sometime down the road, you're going to be hearing these names in the Cup Series. And possible, you're talking possibility of these two becoming champions if, you know, the 42 can get their stuff together in the playoffs. They can be a threat down the stretch somewhere and possibly get Kyle Larson that win, but that is the question. That's the question mark now with Kyle Larson and that 42 team. You know, if they were to get Kurt Busch, that's huge for that organization. Not only, you know, you get a driver upgrade from Jamie Murray, you're getting a champion. Obviously, you're getting a guy that knows how to run on straighter plates, tracks as well, runs good on short tracks, things like that. So that's going to be a huge amount of wealth of information that Kyle, KL, Young Money Larson can learn from a veteran, Kurt Busch. And yet, nothing set in stone yet. Like I said earlier in this episode on the Throughout NASCAR podcast, nothing's been official yet. the official word from over the weekend that Kurt Busch ain't coming back, obviously. So we already knew that from the second Michigan race from this summer. So a lot can still happen, but Kyle Larson can learn a thing or two from Kurt Busch, and that would be some dynamic duo there. You're getting in. Kanasha Racing already grabbed a couple of new employees. One that I know of from the Furniture Racing team just signed over there as well. So that's a good, huge get for those guys over there. And they're going to need the help they can get because they have talented driver. And I don't know when his contract is up. Mick Rose will have more information than I do. At this point, Mick Rose has been on the show multiple times this season, and hopefully we'll have him on again next year. So, with all that being said, and everything like this, can that team specifically get their act together? And by the way, Kyle Larson, he didn't win nothing this year in the Cup Series, so he can win all these dirt races he wants. And all this other stuff, we know, we get it. You know, we obviously, when it comes down to the big dirt shows, you know, Bell and Larson are going to be going at it 1-2, 1-2, this and that, and everything else. That's fine. I mean, they put on a hell of a show the week after Homestead was a good dirt race in itself. I didn't see the whole thing. I only saw bits and clips here and there. But at the end of the day, though, you know, Carolyn Mano was not happy with Kyle Larson's decisions to go to focus more on dirt racing. And I believe this was one of the podcast episodes I listened to during the season that she expressed her concerns for Kyle Larson and the fact that he went the night before the race to run that dirt race over there, and I don't know the name of it off the top of my head right now, but he went over there, ran it, and then ran the Michigan race, in which he did not finish well in this Michigan race. I believe it was a second Michigan race, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, though, you gotta put your eggs in one basket. I mean, yes, Kyle Larson loves his dirt racing, and he doesn't want to go away from it. Hey, I'm not gonna tell the guy what he wants to do. But eventually, you know, Cup is where it's at. It's going to matter at some point where the team's going to want you to focus on the Cup car. And, yeah, no wins. Yeah, that's a highlighter right there in the 2018 book this year. No wins at all. You're a first part of the year. You're the fastest Camaro. And then you're basically just put to sleep by Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott's rise throughout this campaign as well. So, you know, Kyle Larson, we get the talents, obviously, and hey, I can care less about the dirt racing. I want to see, and yes, I'll probably end up seeing, hopefully, in person, dirt racing at some point. I mean, we have local tracks here. Well, the closest one here to Manhattan is Salina, so I'm hopefully need to plan something out to check out a dirt race at some point. But I've just mentioned the Chili Bowl, which is probably the biggest dirt race, probably the Super Bowl of dirt racing. I've heard a lot about it, and it's driver distance from here, so maybe at some point I'll probably look into it and see whether or not we can probably take a stab at it and go down there. But we'll just have other circumstances have to play. Work out in itself too, though, so we'll have to see about that. But definitely might have to just next year make it at least take one off the bucket list, go see a dirt race. And I made a poll about it earlier this year, tweeted it up, and it just didn't happen this year. Hopefully next year take time out and at least do that. Maybe it will possibly be the Chili Bowl next year, I don't know. But yeah, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell winning all those races this year, didn't win a championship, so, you know, they have to work on, they're more feast than famine, Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series. You win one, then you finish 38th, you know, that's not going to cut it. I know Bell, in one of the ESPN articles, I believe from Bob Pockris, said that they need to work on consistency and not have this feast or famine attitude. You're right about one thing. For one thing for sure, you can learn something from Joey Logano. Logano, all the consistency. He didn't win a whole lot of races, but your champion, Joey Logano, cranked out 25 top 10s. Big D, if I'm not mistaken, if that is right or not, but I believe it was 25 top 10s. He was awfully consistent in the second half of the year. Eventually won himself a couple of races in the playoffs. And the last one, of course, taking the championship from the Big Three is your champion. So you can learn a thing or two from Joey Logano. And he's going to be happy dealing with him, obviously. Well, he's already dealing with them. Dealt with him in the Xfinity Series. So he knows how to race to get the big boys. He's beat them. But for Bell and Larson, these guys, you know, they can put on the shows they want for sure. That's for the dirt enthusiasts. But when it comes time for that asphalt, we know what they can do there on the track. We want to see a little bit more consistency from Bell next year in the Xfinity Series. If he's going to get back to the Championship 4 and be more of a factor to get the Xfinity Series Championship. Meanwhile, for Kyle Larson, if he's going to get past the second round, that team's going to have to be more committed. And, you know, for all the success at Fontana and Michigan due to that, and not only just those tracks, really the mile and a half tracks in general, we see Kyle Larson rip the fence, rip the wall, if you will. And he's going out, they're going to have to be managed better, a little bit more consistency from both of them. I'm sure we're going to see more of them on the asphalt side of NASCAR side, but for those guys, you know, they can put on the shows they want, but if they're going to reach their goal like Joey Logano this year, they're going to have to be a little bit more consistent on the asphalt side of the stock car side of things. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 and 3Wide with Bill Snyder ending this episode on this topic. Of course, the College Football Playoff Final Four was announced last night. Alabama will take on Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. And, of course, the Cotton Bowl has Clemson, Notre Dame. And those were the right four. And I had my beef with what everybody was beefing up Georgia's stage or stance in the playoff was. But Georgia, yeah, they deserve not to be in the Final Four after all. So put that to sleep. But for Bill Snyder, you know, I mentioned on this week's episode of the Through Our NASCAR Podcast that in Gene Taylor, the Affleck director here in Manhattan, Kansas, you know, they wanted to make a decision. I thought they were putting off because the way they're saying it, you know, it was Friday, nothing was made and all this other stuff. Well, decision was made yesterday morning that Bill Snyder would retire from K-State football team. So, you know, I have my thoughts on that. And you don't know what you're really going to feel until it actually happens, you know. But it was a little somber yesterday. But at the same time, you know, a little sad that Bill Snyder will not be on the sidelines. Again, obviously, Bill Snyder, he's almost 80, and there will not be a third term for Bill Snyder. Unfortunately, he's getting to that age where he needs to move on to the next phase of his legacy, if you will. And he's still going to have an impact off the field. But on off the field, you know, look, I was up here for the second stint of the Bill Snyder area. I was in around here, Manhattan, Kansas for the first. But obviously, watching K-State football in high school, doing all that. K-State, they were pretty popular in national TV. They were right there, ranked up high, played very well. Jonathan Beasley, Quincy Morgan, all those guys. Eli Roberson, got to watch Michael Bishop when he was in action as well on TV screens, and, you know, just to watch old videos of the and be a part of this legacy is, if I would have told you to be a part, I was going to be a part of somebody's legacy, not only once, but to see this guy, a guy of any magnitude of Bill Snyder, come back a second time and take this team back to respectability, I'll told you, hell no. I'll told you, I'm not going to be a part of no legacy, but to watch somebody at least win at K-State is something else. Now, I've heard a lot of stories about the Ron Prince era that, you know, he was not the right fit for this program. And when I've heard a lot of the stories. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. Don't have the time and not going to go all into that. But, you know, like I said in this week's podcast episode, that Gene Taylor, now that is pretty much a lock, that Bill Snyder is done, that he put in his papers, he's done, he's moving on. Now, we're going to find out how good Gene Taylor, well, yeah, pretty much Gene Taylor is, because baseball coach, we got Pete Hughes as the new baseball coach here in K-State, so we're really going to find out how that shakes out. And now, the biggest question is going to be answered with this football team, now that who is he going to hit the jackpot with this hire? Obviously, you know, for those of you who don't know Bill Snyder at all, he took this program from crappy situation to a pretty damn good one. Obviously, the missed opportunity for a national to be appear in the national title game in 98 against whoever it was. They were in national contention then. You know, I saw that game against A&M back in a day there, heartbreaking, and that state in that appointment. But I did get to witness in a second term as a student these guys, Colin Klein, Bill Snyder, Colin Klein, Arthur Brown, and those boys take the Big 12 championship in 2013, my senior season, all the way to the back then at least a BCS berth in the Fiesta Bowl, where we fell short to Oregon. And that stands at one point, though, we're number one in the country that point with Colin Klein, and we got taken to the woodshed. Colin Klein appeared on the Sports Illustrated Curse there, and it played horrible against Baylor that night. I remember that night clear as days. We had an opportunity there to possibly inch closer to a national title berth. That did not happen, fortunately, but we did appear in the BCS Bowl back at that time. Now it's the college football playoff. But now Gene Taylor is put on the clock, and he's going to have to deliver. Obviously, I've talked about it on this week's podcast, which you have not listened to already. I would encourage you to do that. He's going to have to hit a home run on this one. I'm not saying hit a go out, hit a grand slam and whatnot, but he's going to have to hit a home run. Obviously, you know, the big name or a circle around here is Brent Venables. I don't think that's going to happen at all, because his son is on that Clemson team. And, of course, Brent Venables is getting ready to prepare for Notre Dame right now. But the name that's been floating around here, at least, there are a couple coaches, one from North Dakota State, I can't remember, but the one that's floating around right now as the leading candidate is Seth Luttrell. The other one is, of course, Mike Leach's name is thrown in here as well. And trying to remember the third name of it. This is going to really bother me. I don't know which one it is right now, but if you want to pull up that coaches potential list, then do that. But yeah, Seth Luttrell, that name has appeared. Yes, the name that I wanted for Jim Leavitt. That's the name I was shooting for right there. Jim Leavitt, the defensive coordinator. So, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. Obviously, for K-State, there, you know, this city thrives on football. And they, obviously, we've heard of moans and groans all year long. And this team, I said it, this team should have been getting ready for a bowl game. And we're sitting here now looking at coaches now, you know, and this is a bad way to go out. You know, Iowa State 17-point lead, and we give it away. So pretty much that, TCU had a chance to win that game as well. So there are a lot of what ifs from this year, you know, dealing with this stupid quarterback situation. You know, nobody was happy with that, you know, going back and forth with the dumb quarterback situation. So there's a lot of things that should have happened, but either with that, you know, even if we would have won that game, you know, I think it was time. I said it even before, you know, the Iowa State game, that it was time. You know, he's done great things. I've said it on his on his NASCAR podcast multiple times. Thank you for tuning in to Through Our NASCAR Podcast, EG3. EG3 here in the building for a few more minutes tonight with you guys on a stage break edition. But, you know, Bill Steiner, he's done awfully good things, and I had a chance to shake the legend's hand last year after a 5K run last year, the Bill Steiner Half Marathon, which I did at the 5. Then, this past May, I did the Half Marathon, didn't get his... Would have had time to take a picture with him, but didn't have time for that, obviously. But shook the man's hand, and I am going to cherish that. Obviously, posted on the Facebook page yesterday, but I'm definitely going to cherish that as long as I'm on this earth, for sure. And he's touched so many others here, and he still will, as long as he's living on this earth, green earth. He will still impact many others off the field, and now he's going to have to hand it over to there is no coming back. And somebody is going to have to prove their worth, that they can win. Come in here to Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, and win football games. That is the main thing here. People around here, as I've lived here, come back, moved away from this place, and come back here. These guys, these people, these fans starve. They bleed purple, white and purple, and they love their football here. They love all their sports. every college level sports. Let's not get anything wrong, but as long as I've been around this place, Manhattan, Kansas, me and my wife, these people love their football. And the next guy, whoever that is, you know, they're going to have big shoes to fill. There's no question about it, and I'm going to be listening to the game Wildcat Insider tomorrow's podcast, CEC, to hear John Kurtz, Tomlin's thoughts, obviously. John Kurtz, you know, I do know his thoughts about it, and definitely interested to hear Wyatt's thoughts and about, you know, who's going to be up there. Obviously, you know, right now, as I told you guys, Seth Luttrell is the leading candidate at the moment right now. So whoever that is, come in here, they're gonna have fill shoes. And obviously, I haven't mentioned the players on this team and the lack of talent on this football team. And yet, there's uncertainty for at least one position I know of, Alex Barnes, the leading rusher of the Big 12 this year. There's not even info there whether he's even coming back for a season or not. So, a lot of holes to fill. And yes, there's Malik Knowles, Phillip Brooks, and that Robinson kid who played the corner, who played well in his little stint there before having to keep that red shirt. You know, there's going to be a lot of talent there to fill up. I mean, yeah, you're losing. I mean, the quarterback's returning, but he's going to have to... Really, somebody's going to put their stamp on this team and say, hey, look, you know, they're going to have to come here and win football games. That is for sure. And I probably said that at least five, six times already to wrap it up. But it's going to be critical, you know. They don't have to, I mean, yeah, they don't have, you don't have to be a Bill Snyder and do all this other stuff. But we do all do one thing, though. Gene Taylor, we're going to see. That's going to be answered for sure with this Pete Hughes head baseball coach. You know, the baseball team kind of went down after their Big 12 championship run and possible run to the College World Series. That team went down to the tank as well, so they needed to change there as well. So K-State, they've slowly gone down to the tank also, you know. So we'll see, you know, who they get, especially, you know, with the signing dates and all this other stuff coming up. So we are on the clock for head coach at Kansas State University. And yes, Les Miles, and they're gonna be looking at Les Miles, a pretty good coach over there in the KU side of things, and less than just over an hour away from here. They're gonna have to answer the bell here. We'll see what Gene Taylor comes out with here over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, I know it takes time, but yeah, time is ticking, definitely. So we'll see what Gene Taylor dials up here for the Kansas State football program. You can follow me at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. Follow me at EG3_FastEddie. And of course, you can catch the 3Wide NASCAR podcast on podcasts that you listen to: Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes. If you have not downloaded the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3, well, you better get on it before the new year rolls around. Please catch up on the latest episodes of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Again, we'll be back next Monday with a brand new episode, and we're trying to get our special guest on next Monday night. If we do not, we will still have a new episode of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 on Mondays. And I am going to save, yes, Big D, I am going to save Noah Gregson for next Monday. So, and what's been going around here, what I've been seeing on Twitter, I have my thoughts. I'm saving those for next Monday night. So, yes, big news coming from the Snowball Derby. If you don't already know, Noah Gregson won the Snowball Derby over the weekend. And not only just that, big news coming after the race, which we'll sort that out next Monday night. And if we get our special guest on here as well this week, we have to switch times around due to my work schedule, inventory week at place I work at. So we got that going on this week. So I could have to get that switched up as well. So I got some moving parts going around. And of course, yes, before we get out of here, wrap this thing up, Big D. Yes, the EG3 Awards, the second annual EG3 Awards, December 17th. I have awards from all three divisions. Yes, I have my race of the year and things like that. You don't want to miss that. So I got that set for December 17th. So you do not want to miss the award show, second annual EG3 Awards show, here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Big D, thank you once again for coming over on short notice and doing what you do. Thank you guys for tuning in to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. This has been a good one. But right now, time to close the garage for another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Greer III, EG3, saying thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. And we will talk to you guys next week on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We out.
Thanks for listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. You can follow Eddie on Twitter at EG3_FastEddie. Make sure you are subscribing and downloading the podcast wherever you get your podcasts: iTunes, Spotify, Audio Boom, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.